Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Are there any citizens that would like to address the commission?
So I let Sandy know. There are a few meetings that I'm not going to be able to attend on the Tuesday mornings because I had a prior commitment at the beginning of the school year to a program.
Jim, excuse me, I'm having a really hard time
and
understanding.
Could you identify yourself? So this is Laura Grunwall talking. I just wanted to let you know, since I'm going to be trying to attend as many meetings as I possibly can, there are a few that I won't be able to attend in the next few weeks. There are going to be three because I'm in charge. I'm not in charge anymore, but I'm part of a program that I used to be in charge of, but I'm helping mentor a woman who took the program over at Gordon Elementary School. And we have three events coming up in May and June that I need to be a part of, and they're on Tuesdays. So I just to let you know up front, I won't be here those Tuesdays. So, okay, that's all I have to say.
Thank you.
These audios are posted online.
The Tuesday morning aren't. Today's will be, so any special meeting that we have are posted online. The commissioner conversations are not posted online.
Okay.
So we can, if you have any questions, we can talk and I can bring you up to date.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, our first agenda item is the Toth property.
So I've gotten a lot of calls from citizens and a lot of people have stopped me in Albertsons and other places wondering why the Toth property is not open when they can actually use the Toth property. They get off work at 5 and we lock it at 4:30. It's an age-old problem that I've talked to staff about. I do have quite a few staff members that believe we should just leave it open all the time. And I have half of my staff saying, no, don't do it, or we'll have homeless sleeping there. So I thought I would bring it to the commission and let the commissioners decide the policies that we have for the Toth property. Obviously, I was very sympathetic to the woman who said, I work till 5 and I'd really like to come and enjoy the waterfront in the park, and it's always locked.
I think one of the reasons to lock it was to keep nighttime activity from bothering the neighbor. I think we probably made a commitment. I don't know if we made a commitment on that. But the idea is if it becomes a nighttime place for revelry, we've got neighbors immediately adjacent that we can't control that. So that was one of the considerations about daylight usage. Of course, daylight's different now. But
what if we talked to the neighbors and asked them if, in fact, they would be disturbed if it was open till dark?
Well, who's going to lock it at dark is the problem. It'd almost have to be open 24 hours if we don't.
I think that's it. We could leave it open and see what happens, and if nothing happens, then there's no problem. That's an option. Or if something happens, we can say we have to lock it up because there's just... I think there's also some concerns about drug activity, becoming a place of drug activity as well, after hours.
Yeah, I think I'm sympathetic with the people who don't have access to it after it's locked, but there is a very large, nice park half a block away, actually two of them, one in either direction, one of which is waterfront. I am more concerned about the impact on neighbors and the potential for campers and large groups gathering after dark at a time when we'll have no ability to go in and do anything about it because there's no staff. So I think at this point I'm inclined to continue with our present practice.
And we don't have staff after 4:30?
5 o'clock. Now in the summer, when we switch to summer hours, somebody will be here till 6. But 6 will be, everything will be locked up.
So what happens if someone comes to, I mean, I've never thought about this before. What happens if someone wants to moor at the marina at 7:30 on a summer night?
There's self-registration. So all year we have a pay booth there where people can self-register or come up in the morning. So we've got that covered.
May I ask, I don't know what the costs involved would be, but doing, right now we just have a large access gate to that property from the road. Putting in a pedestrian gate with a timed lock on it that locks so it, you know, it's spring loaded, the gate closes, and after, you know, we can program it after 5, it locks it down and opens again at sunrise, or would that be something that might...
We could look into the cost of something that was electronic that had a timer on. There is a pedestrian gate in right now.
Oh, there is.
So that is a pedestrian. It's a regular gate pedestrian, and there's a padlock on it. So we could look at that. It doesn't prevent people from propping it open, but...
If it's spring-loaded, then it'll probably be shut on its own. Right. Yeah, like people could prop it open, but it's not...
Let me look into that and see what the cost would be, and that might be a good solution where we can lock it at 9 o'clock or whenever we want. We could probably do a remote app on our phones to lock it and open it.
What a great idea, Sam. Thank you.
Okay. Bruce?
Yeah, just I'm not sure I heard all of that suggestion, but am I correct that it's some kind of a self-closing lock that could be installed on it that would close the gate, say, at 9 o'clock? Is that what I'm hearing?
Right.
Including the possibility of having an app on staff's phone to be able to activate or deactivate, and we'll look into both, you know, kind of that range of possibilities.
Okay, just, you know, being sort of a devil's advocate, what happens if we lock somebody in?
Well, those locks normally, you always, you can always have egress, just not ungress. Whatever that is.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, it is a good point. So let us do some research on it. I think what I'm hearing without a vote is let's keep it as it is and let's explore ways that we can expand the hours without impacting staff.
Yeah, are you planning to expand the hours during summer when we have staff on till 6 o'clock?
Yes, so it'll go till 6 on Friday and Saturday.
And that can happen regardless.
Right.
So that's basically the last thing they do before they go home. Someone goes and does the gate lock. Okay.
Okay,
that's definitely...
Do you need anything else from the board?
Nope, just wanted your sage advice.
Well, you got it from Sam.
What do you need us for anyway? Okay, just the welcome sign for Kingston.
Well, I think we're all pretty excited about the Welcome to Kingston sign. We all think it's a great idea, something that's needed, as long as it's done professionally. I had heard from two individual commissioners that we should explore ways that the port could get involved in that. So I've had two meetings now with Clint Boxman, who is kind of heading that project up, and kind of wanted to know collectively what the commissioners would like me to do here on out. I talked to Clint this morning on the phone. One of the things that I'm trying to work with him is if we donate money to the sign, we have to make sure that the state auditor is on board with how we're being looked at as far as sponsorship, and make sure that those funds are appropriated properly. And we talked about maybe if the port was a major sponsor, that we could actually get a logo put on the bottom of the sign. That's something that they've not offered to anyone else. And I said, in order for a government to get involved, we'd need some recognition on the sign. He said he couldn't speak for the entire group, but from his point of view, that would be something that we could do. The three things he wants is, one is he needs money. He needs at least $15,000 is where he's short, maybe 20, so that's the range. He's looking for an owner of the sign, somebody that actually, that they would transfer the sign to, mainly because of maintenance and insurance. We need some way to insure the asset. And the third is someone to actually operate the sign. So those are the three things that he's kind of looking at. I told him we're standing by to help. I think that from my point of view, I think it's a great addition to the area, and I think it's a great addition for the port to be kind of be the welcome to the community.
Thanks. I'm totally behind us funding what we can of the sign, because I think it's something the community really needs. And it's, I would like you to contact Linda at the Village Green to see if maybe an interlocal agreement on operation. I think most of the stuff that's going to go up on the sign is going to come from them, because that's where most of the events occur. So it might be an efficient way to operate it, so the information doesn't have to go back and forth. But just talk to her about that. That's my opinion, and look into the feasibility of that. They have a lot of talented people there that can do it, and their labor rate's low. So that's just kind of my input. In terms of maintenance, I think we probably might want to figure out who does what there. But I think we should, if we fund it to the degree where you mentioned, we should be the owner.
Bruce, what's your reaction?
Sorry, I had to get my phone off mute here. I really would like to see us involved in this. And the idea of an interlocal agreement with the Village Green to somehow co-own or co-support it is a good idea and something to be pursued. The question I have for Jim is the idea of maintaining it, not only the physical maintenance of particular, you know, repair and replace kinds of things, but also the staffing to program it and update it. Do we have that bandwidth?
I think we do have the bandwidth to post. I think that's something that Samantha actually would love to do. I'm speaking for her. And she's smiling. I think that the maintenance, the park maintenance is easy for us. You know, that's what we do. We take, go up there once a week, and we know parks pretty well, so we have that bandwidth. From an insurance point of view, I did talk to Enduris, and it would be nothing to add a $45,000 sign to our policy. So that's not an issue for the port. What we don't know, and I'd like to talk to Hanson Signs about it, if they're the vendor, is what the annual maintenance cost is. I mean, I know boats, for instance, you just say it's going to cost me 10% a year, the purchase price, to maintain this thing. So is it going to cost $4,000 a year to maintain it? I don't know, and that's something that I think that the sign people are going to have to work with us on. But I think we need to know, if we do own it, there is going to be an annual or an ongoing maintenance of the electronics itself.
That would probably be a pretty straightforward piece of information to get. And if it is onerous, we could certainly, I think, lean on the Chamber of Commerce to contribute. Although, is the fact that this is primarily serves nonprofits, is the chamber basically turned off by that?
So Bruce and I were at a chamber board meeting where this was discussed, and it was a good discussion among the board members. And they really feel there is an element of the board that believes that it's not a commercial enterprise, so they really don't want to get involved. However, Mickey Monroe was very eloquent in talking about these people are coming to Kingston, and they may be future residents, they may be future business people, and we need to think of it more holistically than just what's in it for me today. So I think it's a discussion we need to have with the Chamber Board, and that might be a good place to go. And I also still think that in my years of government, PSE has been super supportive, and I think we need to go to Puget Sound Energy. And if nothing else, get free electricity service there. But maybe they can, as a donation to the community, help us with some of that stuff, because they were extremely generous in Port Townsend, what they did and how they sponsored things. So Nobody's talked to PSE yet. I think that's a door we need to open.
Is that something you would see taking on?
Yeah, I talked to Clint this morning, told him if he would like, I would be happy to interface. I'm kind of letting Clint run that whole project, mm-hmm. but I said, any help you need, let me know.
On the interlocal agreement, you know, I was more thinking of them, you know, doing the event stuff. But I got thinking, gee, they could do the landscaping. But then if it has our logo on it, we want to make sure the landscaping is up to Ray's standard. So I think that we would buy into the landscaping because that's what people notice about the sign as well as the message. So I think we own that. But the other stuff, maybe we can share costs or something.
I'm also pretty familiar with how effective the whole volunteer operation at the community center is, and I think there's a lot to recommend that. On the other hand, I also know that Linda is judging by what we see in terms of the glitches, the informational glitches that happen pretty regularly. I don't think we can afford to have public information glitches on people's events, and I think having a staff person who's involved in that part of it, because you do have to maintain, well, as I say, a lot of very specific data and information, that I would feel better with a paid person doing that. And I would like to see us explore that further.
Well, you can talk to her about it, though.
Yeah.
I'm not aware of the problems. I know they programmed the sign and the thing, but I have a feeling there's going to be more than just entering data. There's going to be going back and forth with the event person and changing, and then the inevitable question, well, we don't have room for you. How do we handle
right.
that? So I think there'll be a fair bit of liaison work.
Oh, I agree. But I also know that and I'm pretty sure that Linda would agree, we almost always have an error in what's the information that's posted or given out at this point. And so I'm not comfortable that system is working well enough for us to take the heat when it doesn't, because with our name on it, we will.
Yeah, the errors that I've done. It's my own fault because I didn't tell them, oh, I got it last night. We had a ferry meeting, you know, and oh, I didn't tell you it started at 6:30, you know, and all that. So that happens inevitably. There's a lot of that.
Yeah. And I'm not downing what is happening at the Village Green. I just want to make sure that it's somebody's serious responsibility and that I have total confidence in the level of detail and the mastery of all of it. And I've watched Sam do that, and I feel real confident that could be handled well.
Well, obviously there's going to be a liaison between the Village Green and the port, and so I think a team effort working together would be the best.
Why don't you explore that? I don't want to take it for a decision, though. I understand what you're saying, Mary, but I would like you to explore and then come back to us and see what are the various collaborations to share the burden of managing this and actually collaborate, because it's a common, we'll have events.
So the first thing we have to do before this moves forward is to fund the operation. So I would like to ask you collectively to authorize me to spend up to X to fund the sign, knowing that we want to be a major sponsor with naming rights. So I think it's going to be in the $15,000 to $20,000 range. So
and where will that come out?
That's come out of our reserves.
Out of the reserves.
Well, we have some unexpended capital projects too, so we could always. Some of those may not happen.
Right.
So,
we have the money to do it. I mean, and that's not the issue. But
one thing on that, I think when you last briefed us, Clint said that he hadn't gotten debated amongst a number of providers. So the price was still, the cost was still kind of uncertain.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking that 40 was at the high end.
Right.
And
he's got, he said, 10 to 15 committed right now from individual donors. So he's sure he's got 10, and he thinks he has 15,000.
Do you want to vote from us?
I would. I'd like to move forward and negotiate because he has to go back to his group to get approval to name the sign, and I think that's important for us is to make sure that we name the sign.
Okay, I move that Jim be authorized to negotiate a donation not to exceed $20,000, but to provide the best value to the board.
Bruce?
Well, I'm hesitating here because I'm wondering if, you know, if there are. Okay, so let me ask a procedural question first. Do we need a second, or can we just go into further discussion?
Yes. We do.
I'm sorry?
We do need a second before we go into further discussion.
Okay, then I will second it.
Okay, further discussion.
Is there a motivation or something that's driving us to make a decision on a financial participation now, or can that wait till we know just what we're going to do with it? It sounds to me from our discussion as though we've got several ideas of how it might work in conjunction with the Village Green, but we don't know whether that's going to work at all. I mean, admittedly, we have good pipelines into the Village Green organization. At this point, I don't know whether we're talking about the Village Green Foundation or the Village Green Metropolitan Park District. I assume the Park District, but I don't know what their feeling is about some kind of joint with us in this regard. In the past, but my understanding of the Park District has been that they were pretty focused on the park and not too inclined to get involved in issues that weren't right in that wheelhouse. I know I'm rambling here because I haven't really had time to think about this a lot. I just think that we're putting a commitment of cash out there at this point before we know what we're going to do with it is premature. I'm not against it. I would like to see us, if the sign is able to be done and we can jump through all the legal hoops, I'd like to see us involved in it, but I do hesitate about the committee to put cash in at this stage without knowing more about what the end game is.
Are you against Jim communicating that we're positively disposed towards a cash commitment when the details are worked out on how this sign is going to work?
No, that doesn't bother me at all. I think it's a good idea to let Clint and the people working on the sign know that we're very open to it, but till we know, you know, what the horse looks like, I don't want to buy it.
Are you on a burro now?
Yeah. Well, where are you now, Bruce?
We're interested in knowing where you are now.
I am in Monument Valley, Utah.
Ah, Utah.
Okay.
That's a beautiful place.
Where we woke up to rain this morning.
Oh.
I withdraw my motion based on the wisdom of our absent commissioner.
Well, one thing I would like to say is that in a conversation I had with Clint, he was talking about it. If he knew that he had the money, that he thought there was a good possibility he could have it in place by 4th of July, which seems to me to be, if that's realistic, if you assess that that's realistic in your conversation with him, that seems like it is a good reason to make a decision now rather than 2 weeks from now.
I think that given the direction that I can negotiate and let him know that we're open to that, but we need a little more information, give me time to talk to Linda and actually put together a plan for y'all for, we could have another special meeting next Tuesday if we need to firm this up. So why don't I work on it this week based on those parameters, mm-hmm. and then we can move forward sure. next week. Does that sound all right, Bruce?
Yeah, that's fine. Next Tuesday, my availability is limited because I'm flying back to Seattle. I'm just taking a look at my schedule here around noon. So I guess probably 10 o'clock in the morning here. I might be at the airport by then, but if we need to do a special meeting, then I can do it.
Okay, we'll keep you posted, and we'll schedule something when you're available.
We could always defer our meeting to, like, Wednesday or something.
We're at WPPA.
Oh, well, we'll see you then. We can't have a meeting there,
though. Can't have a meeting at WPPA.
Okay.
Good. Well, I think I have some direction to start negotiating anyway, and I will bring back a full proposal for you all, and we can vote on it then.
Good. Good. A good solution.
Okay. Yeah. I think the Village Green will see it like we see it, as an extension of what they're doing. You know, this is a way. I don't see it as different from the port's mission to advertise what's happening here. So I think it's very fitting. It's not like giving money to an operation that's not connected to the port. So I think for public entities, it's easy. But
I think that the port is, I think this will have moments of controversy. People that say, I wanted this and it didn't happen. And I think we are more positioned as a transparent and economic development organization. And this is, and I think having our logo and our fingers all over this in term operationally has got a lot of positive. So when you bring back a proposal, we can take a look at it.
Great.
See what. Okay. So Carolyn Lake has just arrived, and we're going to recess to executive session to discuss with Carolyn, our legal counsel, agency matters relating to agency enforcement actions, or to discuss representing the agency litigation or potential litigation to which the agency, the governing body, or a member acting in an official capacity is or is likely to become a party when public knowledge regarding the discussion is likely to result in an adverse legal or financial consequence to the agency. I think that the question of evaluating qualifications of an applicant is probably not.
It's personnel.
Yeah.
It's personnel issue.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. So it is now, someone has a time check, 9:29. Reassemble in half an hour?
Half hour.
Do you need a half hour?
I don't.
Yeah, I think 20 minutes is probably 20 minutes
for both.
Since we have public, that might want to come back.
For both matters.
Yeah, on both matters.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll assume that we're reconvening at 10 minutes to 10.
Sounds good.
And here we go.
All right.
All right. We are now recording.
And can you tell me just what time it is?
At this time, it is 9:58 a.m.
Thank you.
So you're taking.
It is AM.
Okay. I don't see 9:58 PM very often. I'm normally sleeping.
So we've reconvened to the special meeting, and there are a couple of agenda items now for possible action. Is there a motion to take action on the Kingston Road Culvert Project, the pollution control hearing for an appeal?
I move that we approve the stipulation and agreed motion provided by counsel.
Is there a second?
Yes, once I get my phone off mute. I'm sorry. Yes, I second the motion. And just a question for Carolyn. Is it appropriate at this stage that we have a public discussion of the settlement? Is that required under the circumstances?
It's not required under the circumstances, but that's certainly authorized or allowed.
Yeah, I just didn't want to create the impression of having made a decision in secret and then coming out and not explaining it.
Sure.
Would you or Jim
Carol, can you
summarize our discussion?
Sure. The Navy has a project where they are removing a culvert and replacing with a bridge West Kingston Road. The port was concerned about that project based upon previous project that has had adverse impacts to Apple Tree Cove and specifically the navigational channel at the port due to increased sediment buildup, which causes dredging, which is a big ticket item for the port. So the port wanting to protect its economic development and its recreational and fishing access to Apple Tree Cove felt it necessary to file an appeal with the Pollution Control Hearings Board to get Ecology and the Navy to recognize and potentially mitigate for any adverse impacts. So this settlement agreement that the Navy and Ecology have agreed to, subject to the Commission's approval, means that there will be Ecology will attach additional permit conditions to its water quality certification, in which they would add the following conditions: that the Navy will share data regarding measurements of pre-construction sediment elevations at four cross sections. The Navy will share the data regarding the measurements, and they will measure the sediment elevations annually for 5 years, and if adverse impacts are noted at any time, the Navy will continue to measure sediment for an additional 5 years. The Navy will conduct these annual sediment measurements at the same month each year. They will share the survey control points used in the measuring with the port and send a copy of the annual monitoring reports to the port. The port has volunteered to, it's not obligated, but they volunteered to conduct pre-construction sediment survey and post-construction sediment measuring within Apple Tree Cove to include the navigational channel for 5 years and send a copy of that report to the Navy. If there are any adverse impacts, including increase in sediment impacts to Apple Tree Cove, then under the permit that's already issued, those are defined as problems encountered during the monitoring, which triggers appropriate corrective actions in coordination with the Navy, Kitsap County, Army Corps of Engineer, and Ecology, and the Port of Kingston will be included in discussions as an interested party. And the port agrees to hold Ecology harmless for any impacts as a result of the project, but has not agreed to hold the Navy harmless. So by this agreement, we think we have a structure in place, so if there are adverse impacts, we have a pathway to have them corrected.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And thank you for making that suggestion, Bruce. So we have a motion on the table. Is there any further discussion? Calling for the question, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Obviously, no opposed. So on to the next topic. And again, thank you, Carolyn.
Sure. Yeah.
A personnel issue concerning a severance package and agreement.
So as you're aware, I've been here a year now and really spent a year looking at our organization and how it operates and how it can run a little better than it has. We have an excellent staff in place, but we have some people that were in positions that I deem the port really didn't need to have. So during a reorganization, we've decided to eliminate our office assistant job. That job was basically a receptionist, and it was my feeling that I wanted more people at the front desk that understood all the operations of the marina and not just answer the phone. So in this, we've eliminated a position of office assistant. We will have our marina supervisor answering the phone, answering questions, and delegating slips or providing slips for people. It'll be a much more efficient operation. During that transition, of course, we've eliminated a position. We have a small staff of 8 people. We're going to go down to 7 people. we basically notified the employee on Friday of this reduction in force. This employee has been a good employee for the port for 3 years, and I feel it would be very nice if we could provide a small severance package for her. So I want to ask the commission if they would approve me to negotiate a severance package for our office assistant.
Is there a motion to that effect?
I move we approve the employee separation agreement provided
by... That we authorize the executive director to...
To negotiate... Let me start that again. I move that we authorize the executive director to negotiate and complete an employment separation agreement as provided to the board.
I second the motion.
Any further discussion? Okay, seeing none, I'll call for the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So done.
Thank you.
Okay. Are there any other additional staff comments?
This time.
We're happy to have Sam back.
I was just going to say, can we make a comment to staff?
Yes, welcome back, Sam. Glad to have you back.
I'm glad to be back.
It's not just that you're back, it is that you have a smile on your face.
Oh, yeah.
Did you have any other comments that you wanted to make? Okay. Commissioner comments?
Let's see, I'm thinking. Rob Gelder is establishing the 104 working group, dealing with two things. One is the legislative funding to do the 104 bypass, so it'll need to be a community group. And then to deal with traffic issues, ferry traffic issues. I think the members will include two people from Kinston, which will be me, and Dave Wetter, who's a stakeholder, because we were on the group before. Then ferries, Washington State Patrol, DOT, and county public works. I expect that's the full extent where they will all be involved in the meetings. I expect we'll have an initial setup meeting in June.
And in addition to Dave Wetter, the other Kingston representative is you.
Okay. I'm on it, not because I'm a port person, but because I'm on the ferry committee, so I work with ferries on issues, terminal issues. So, and then ferries might have different people. Leonard Smith, if you know Leonard, has been an active member, and then the North Terminal manager would probably show up. The tent went up. Rotary, there was enough people there, and it went well, and very good event, and the staffs provided excellent support. And can you thank Ray and his guys for all they did to get it upright? Really appreciate it.
Bruce, do you have comments besides being where we all might wish we were right now?
It's raining.
Oh, but it's raining.
No, I don't. I just have one quick question for Walt on this group that is being put together. What was the end goal or purpose of that again?
Rob Gelder set it up, and he's reactivating an existing group to deal with ferry traffic congestion and its impact on the town, then also to be a body that the engineering group who will be doing the 104 bypass engineering work in this biennium can contact if they need. That's my understanding. I just got a notification. I didn't get much more than that.
What was the pre?
Okay, thank you. Well, one thing that I don't know if it plays into that or not, before we left, this relates really more to the South Kingston Road closure than anything else, but several mornings I observed some pretty hazardous traffic conditions at the intersection of Barber Cutoff and the highway, and the condition is that the traffic backs up on Barber Cutoff, and people trying to come out of that, they're not using Lindbergh the way that it wanted them to, or at least not all of them, and they're running the stop sign and racing to get out in the small gaps between unloading traffic from the ferry and people going to the ferry. So if you have a chance to raise that issue with anybody, just in the week or 10 days that we were there before we left, I saw several near misses. It's only a matter of time.
Okay, I'll look for a venue to do that. I think that's something I should mention to KCAC Transportation Committee as well. That's a little bit beyond the locus of this group. I mean, in terms of time, because this group won't get established for a while. So I will do what you have asked with the resources that I have.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
I'll mention to Dennis.
Cool.
That's all I have.
Okay. I just wanted to report that the farmers market did indeed open on Saturday, and some of our folks were involved in the tent raising, which in the report I heard was very positive. But it was a good opening, and there were actually more vendors of a greater variety, including produce and earth-type products, than have been at the opening day in at least 3 years. So that kind of goes pre-produce crash, and I anticipate that it'll be even better as we go forward. Nobody's tomatoes are grown right now. The weather's not, it's been too wet. So anyway, I was really happy to see it because, the precipice looks awful around here when you've backed away from it, it is a relief. So, anything else?
Jim, is there anything about opening day next week that you want to make us aware of? I won't be here, but it sounds like it's really being well.
Well, Nancy Langwith has done a yeoman's job of coordinating this festival. Unfortunately, the prognosis is for rain on Saturday, which is going to dim the prospects. But the event tent is full of demonstrations for young people. There's going to be gutter races, sailboats and gutter races, all sorts of fun things. So it really is an effort to bring the community down to celebrate boating, not just the boaters that are going to go out and get the fleet blessed. So hopefully this will continue over the next few years and grow. It may not grow to the size of Seattle opening day, but this community comes out for stuff like that. So
thank you.
I do have to say that the Bruce, you haven't seen these yet, and I'll send you a picture. The large chairs arrived this week, and we put two on the stage and two facing the marina. And while they were delivering them, the ferry was unloading, and within 5 minutes, we had a lineup of families waiting to get their pictures taken in these big chairs. They are a huge hit, and it is going to put us, I think, on the map from a tourism point of view of we've got to go to Kingston to see the big chairs. They delivered 12 of them to the community on Friday. Four came to the port, two up at the Mercantile, two at Arness Park, two back at Susan Rogers Place, and there's another location. But the whole idea is to come to Kingston and sit a while and get your picture taken in these giant chairs. And there's a hilarious picture somewhere that I have not seen yet, but it's a picture of Rob Gelder and I sitting in these chairs. And I don't know what I look like, but I know what Rob looked like. And he's a pretty big guy, and he looked like he was 5 years old. So it was pretty fun.
I think that's the charm of them. So are you anticipating that they will remain on the stage, or that those two that are on the stage will go over near the new?
I'm looking for places to put them. Two of them are going to go to Washington Boulevard Park when it gets done. And Commissioner Elliott suggested we might want to just put them up there now in the grassy area. So we're looking at that. One of the things that we don't like is having to move them to cut the grass. It takes at least three people, sometimes four,
good
to
point.
Pick them up. So what Steve would like to do is pour a small pad for them out here so that we can put them and not have to worry about cutting grass every week around them. But we're still looking. Yeah, obviously, it clutters the stage a bit because they are huge.
Yeah, they're charming enough that I'm not concerned about the clutter. But if you have a six-piece band,
there's no way.
Yeah, I think for the concert series, we're okay. But on 4th of July, when the high school band goes on the stage, there may be a real estate issue there if that's what we do. Like you said, they take up space. Maybe they could play the music in the chair, I suppose. Some clarinets or trombones or something. That would be cute.
It's hard to keep your balance if you are... Anyway. Okay.
Yeah, Claire, that's what we'd have to argue over who was first chair and who was second chair.
Or whether you got the chair that had the, which symbol on the back you wanted to have. You know, because each one has a different symbol on its back.
You know, I happened to see a, I forget just why, but when I was on the internet the other day, a picture that was apparently from the Kitsap Sun, and a picture of Doug, I have a blank on his last name, sitting in one of those chairs in reference to Sit a While in Kingston, and now I understand where that came from.
Yeah.
How did they get started?
How did they get what?
Started.
Started back east, somewhere in Maryland started it, and this gentleman moved here. He has a cabinet shop, Doug Woodside's his name, and he created two of them for up by the wine bar.
Right.
And they were such a big hit that he and Commissioner Gelder and Susan Rogers had this idea of let's put them throughout town.
Nice.
And make it take a picture of yourself in these different locations.
Passports.
Oh.
You know, the whole bit.
Awesome.
I mean, there's a lot of buzz in the business community, especially. So. Okay, well, our next regular meeting date is Wednesday, May 24th, here at the Village Green Community Center at 1 p.m. So are we going to have a meeting on the 23rd?
Not now.
Not now.
You know, next week we're going to be at WPPA,
right.
So we have to question. I think we can still have a meeting as long as Bruce is available. I'll check in with you a little later, Bruce, to see where you're going to be Tuesday.
Okay. Next Tuesday, I will be driving down from Camp Verde to Phoenix and then flying home from Phoenix. It's about an hour drive. The only issue would be is if we had to have an executive session, Barb would be in the vehicle with me, would be on speakerphone.
Well, that's terrifying. So if, but don't tell her I said that. So what I know is that if we don't have a special meeting on Tuesday, if we're not able to arrange that this coming Tuesday, and then we won't have a meeting again until
24th.
The 24th, unless we do.
We can call a special meeting anytime as long as we give 24 hours notice. So if the sign comes to a point where I need a decision, we'll just call a special meeting.
Well, I think there's schedule complexity for people, certainly for me. So I would like us to at least tentatively leave the 23rd on our calendar just in case we need to do any briefing, you know, ahead.
But this coming Tuesday, we will still.
But this coming Tuesday, we're talking about a
special. And who knows what happens by then.
It might be a special session.
We might be at a decision point there.
Okay. Well,
so if we are going to do the possibly make a decision on a sign, it should be in the minutes or the agenda that we are doing that the way the public wants to come forward and comment on it.
Sure.
Okay.
And Bruce, for just my planning purposes, what time is your flight on this coming Tuesday for scheduling?
Next
Tuesday.
I'm sorry, you cut out there. You were asking what time is my flight?
Yeah, you're just an estimated departure time just for that meeting time coordination. So I've got that on my calendar.
Yeah, my flight out of Phoenix is right around noon. And I'm not sure what, I think they are not on daylight savings time, but it would still be. Yeah, it'd be Arizona time noon,
of course.
Whatever time that is.
I believe they're on Pacific Standard. I don't think that they change, but we'll verify.
Okay, and that's 2 weeks from today, right?
Well, that's next week.
That's next
Tuesday.
That's the 17th, 14th.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, so is there any other comment from the public? Okay, seeing none, I think we are going to adjourn.
Want you to adjourn?
Are you happy to adjourn, Bruce?
All in favor?
All in favor? What time is it?
Aye. Great.
It's 10:20.
Okay.
Hey, Bruce, can I have 5 minutes of your time a little later? Or are you traveling?